Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
The league I bow in on Monday nights right now have so many of the people that I coached at high school at Father Judge in that league. That's the stuff I'm proud of. Is the wins come and go, but to see these guys still stick with the game and see how they've advanced and made themselves better is really what the joy of the game is.
And our guest this week is Pat Hamill. He is the head women's bowling coach at Division II Holy Family University in Northeast Philadelphia. He also is the bowling coach at St. Hubert High School and Father Judge High School, obviously keeping busy. Pat, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
We were talking a little bit about this coming in. Coaching three different teams, how do you kind of structure things? How do you spread your time around? And what are the windows that the seasons are taking place?
The college season actually starts in October, runs till the end of March. The high school season starts games in December, ends in February, and then we go to, if we make the regionals in states, it goes into the second weekend of March. I practice the girls from Holy Family on Monday night, and all our tournaments are on weekends. Father Judge and St. Hubert's, we practice on Monday and Wednesday, and our matches are on Tuesday and Thursday, and they coincide with one another. I make the schedule out for them to bowl at the same time.
So how do you approach coaching at the high school as opposed to the college? Are you doing anything different, or is the approach basically the same?
No, it's not. It's a lot different. The high schools are bowling on a house shot, which is a lot easier to bowl on. It's not as difficult. And the college level, you have a different shot every weekend that you bowl, and it's a more difficult shot.
What does that mean for people who aren't familiar?
There's more oil on the lane. It could be a longer oil or a shorter oil than what a normal house shot is. So where you're used to your ball breaking in, they may go straight down the lane. On the tournament shots, it's a lot harder.
How many kids do you have on each team?
Holy Family, right now we have 8 girls. Father Judge, last year we had 13, and St. Hubert's had 10.
Does everybody bowl every match?
Yes, we do. We have with the high schools, you have a varsity and a JV. So the girls bowl 4 in a team. So with the 10 girls, usually you have your 4 start in varsity, and then the other 6 bowl the games with the JV. And same with Father Judge, you have 5 on a team, 5 on a varsity, 5 on a JV, and then you have your other 3 bowlers you mix in the JV match. With the college, usually if it's a 2-day tournament, it's 5 games of traditional bowling. And you can sub in and out, and then your next day is usually 25 games of Baker, which is like your first bowler bowling the first frame and the 6th frame, second bowler bowling the 2nd frame and the 7th, and so on.
So you've been at Holy Family. I know you were the club coach about 15 years ago for a couple of years, right? But this is varsity now. Have you had kids funnel in from St. Hubert's into your program yet?
I've got one girl from St. Hubert's that I've coached the 4 years at St. Hubert's, and now she's in her 2nd year at Holy Family, Maria Hinman. I have 2 girls left from my first year at Holy Family for the girls that came out from the school. This was just whatever signed up and came out for the team. And as of next year, everybody on the team will be someone that I recruited.
So how did the opportunity at Holy Family come about to be the head coach? Obviously, you had a little bit of history there, but you already got two irons in the fire. So were you looking for another challenge, or how did it come to pass?
Well, my son is actually the athletic director at Holy Family.
Okay.
And he had told me that they were going to put together a women's bowling team and wanted me to apply for it, which automatically eliminated him from the process of hiring. So I had to go through three different interviews at the school with their administration and then was eventually hired.
Is it ever overwhelming keeping track of three? I mean, it's not huge rosters, so I mean, it's not like you have three football rosters you're trying to juggle. But no, is it ever?
Sometimes it can be, yeah. Especially when you have the boys and the girls playing at the same time. I try to keep them close together, and you know that's what I have assistant coaches for as well. And I do have good assistant coaches, so that helps out a lot.
So we'll talk more about the teams in a bit. But what was your on-ramp to bowling? Like, how did you get introduced to it?
I'd say it was about 1968, I started working in a 12-lane center. And I started bowling in high school in 1970 at Lincoln High School. And then I graduated in 74. And went to work for Acme Markets at that time. And in 1980, in the Bulletin newspaper, in the section under business opportunities, there was a bowling center for sale. Didn't say where, and it turned out to be the same center that I was working at. So we purchased that center in 1980 and then sold it in 1995.
So when you purchase a bowling center, did you know what you were doing? Like, obviously, you understood the bowling, but there's so many layers to owning your own business and something like that. Like,
yes, there is. It was a bit overwhelming in the beginning. You know, I was used to, let's say, from the scoring tables back to the control center, knowing that part of the business and not the mechanical end of it. But we did have a couple good mechanics that we knew and did the work on the machines. But as far as with leagues and the people and all, I was doing that for years. I was league secretaries in quite a few leagues before that. So I knew the game, knew the people because I was from the neighborhood that the bowling center was in. And it had its good times. And then bowling really took a hit, I would say, around 1986. It really took a fall.
Why?
I think it was more with the economy, where we used to have morning leagues with the women, and then we would have an evening league at 6 and an evening league at 9. Women started going to work, so you lost a lot of your day bowlers. And in the evening, the men started working second jobs, and you started losing the leagues. You know, that you ended up with maybe one league at night instead of two leagues a night.
And we should mention Longshore Lanes is the name of the bowling center you owned. So what is the biggest mechanical headache that you consistently run into as the owner of a bowling center?
Breakdowns on the machines. If you have major breakdowns on them, it can put you out of business for a couple of days if you don't have the parts available. We had A2 machines from Brunswick, which were made of a white metal, which were really good machines. So we only had a few problems during those years. It wasn't really bad, but we had an ace mechanic there, which was Pat Gallagher, who has since passed. But Pat was a crackerjack with mechanics. He also worked at Erie Lanes.
So were you involved in any leagues when you owned the place? And I mean competing. I don't mean overseeing, obviously. Like, were you able, or that job's got to be 24/7, but – you know, yeah, were you able to enjoy bowling at all?
I did. I mean, I would, when I owned the bowling center, I worked night work for Acme. So then after I was done work, I would.
So you owned the bowling center and you're working nights for Acme?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I would go over in the morning, clean the center up from the night before, go home, catch a couple hours of sleep, then go back. I was bowling two nights a week then. My wife was bowling two nights a week as well. But it can wear you down. It was a lot.
Did you enjoy overall owning the bowling center?
I always say it owned me. I didn't own it. It owned me. It was a lot of work. It was difficult at times. You know, you got to go out there, shovel the snow. Sometimes we had to go up and shovel off the roof because you didn't want it all leaking into the center. And I mean, we put a lot of money into that roof, and it still leaked. But like I said, the beginning, I would say the first 6 or 7 years was really good. I mean, we would make as much on our arcade games as we did on the bowling. And then all of a sudden, city council decided to cut back how many arcade games we had because we were close to a school, but we weren't open during school hours. Mm-hmm. And that cut us down from about 16 machines to 3 on the arcade games, and that really hurt.
So when does coaching come into the conversation
into
here?
The picture? Well, owning the center at that time, of course, I went through, which was then ABC, certification for coaching juniors because we had the junior leagues. And high school, I started in 2000 or 1999-2000 when my kids started going to high school. That's when I started coaching with the high schools.
So about a 2-year gap between selling the center and
no,
then started coaching?
I sold the center. Yeah, I guess it would be.
You said
4-year gap.
4 years? Okay.
4-year gap.
So when you started coaching, did you feel like there was anything you had to learn, or given the wealth of experience you had, was it pretty seamless for you as far as understanding the assignment?
Yeah, but I understood from being around the game for so long, you learn to pick up a lot of stuff, and most of it is learning the person that you're coaching, their habits and what they do physically, and just correcting them when they're doing it wrong, because there's a lot. It's like golf. I mean, it's all muscle memory, consistency.
What is the biggest difference between someone who's a pretty good bowler, if we went out and we watch somebody and they're not in the league or anything, they're pretty good, and someone who could compete at the collegiate level? Like, is it a form thing? Is it a consistency thing? What is it?
Nowadays, it's equipment. The game has changed so much. It used to be lacquer finish on the lanes, and we used to use a bug spray can to put the oil down and then a buffer. And now you got the automatic machines laying the patterns down. The equipment is so advanced now. And if you don't have the right equipment in your hand, especially in the tournaments, you're not going to do well. It's a completely different game than what it was back in the 80s. A lot of change.
When you are specifically looking at the Holy Family squad, are you recruiting just from this area, or are there opportunities for you to go to scout kids in different places?
Yeah, the junior gold tournaments that they have across the country, we get invited to. I do get a lot of emails with film attached to them of bowlers that are interested in coming to it, because bowling is on its way back. It is definitely growing. And especially on the woman's part now with the scholarships available for it. So it's become a more interested game for these girls. And it's a sport that they can play all their life, too.
Is that the big reason why you think it's coming back? I also think I am not good, but I enjoy bowling. And the thing that, just purely from a social standpoint, is you can go have 7 or 8 people hanging out. It doesn't cost a ton. It's kind of at your pace, how you want to do things. I can understand why leagues were so prevalent. And so it's easy. Like you said, it is something everyone can do. It is something you can carry with you throughout your entire life. Like, it checks a lot of good boxes that it's not hard to understand why it's coming back.
Yes. Also now, the PBA and the Women's Professional Tour are on TV again, which back when it was on ABC was big. I mean, it was
I remember watching it growing up.
Watch, yep. It, yes. And then that faded away, and now it's back on TV. So the interest is there more. I mean, it's not as big as it was in the 80s, but it's definitely coming back.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Pat Hamill in just a few moments. But right now, I want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HRV. See dealer for financing details. Now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Pat Hamill. He is the head women's bowling coach at Division II Holy Family University, as well as the head bowling coach at Father Judge and St. Hubert High Schools.
At the Division II college level, like, what is the landscape as far as competition? Is everyone that you match up with relatively good? Are there vast gaps of talent from certain schools to others?
Yeah, there is. We play a lot of Division I schools too, and you see a lot of the women that are on the pro tour coaching college teams now: Vanderbilt, Jacksonville State, Mount St. Mary's, and there's quite a few others. And with that, they have connections with the ball companies, so they get their equipment for the whole team. You know, it helps out that way. I mean, you look at some of these teams, they all come in with the same spare ball with their school name on it. They have all the same bowling bags, you know, all the same shoes, all from the same company a lot of times. There is a, especially with us, the first 3 years, a big difference between competition-wise. We struggled the first 3 years. I think this is be our first year that we really have a decent year now, you know, with the recruits that I have in. I adding at times use girls from the lacrosse team to bowl on the bowling team to have enough bowlers at times, you know, just get the athletes out there, which I no longer have that problem. I have about five recruits already committed for next year to come into the school, which kind of is really going to solidify the team and kind of bring us up to the level of what the other Division II schools are.
Now, you've had, specifically with the two high school teams, you've had a really a lot of success. Like, when you think of your time, and you've been, if I've got it right, you've been at varsity at St. Hubert since 2010 and at Father Judge since 2018.
Yes.
Do I have my timeline correct
right there?
I've got here you've won 11 PCL championships.
Yes.
What are you most proud of from the high school coaching standpoint?
It's watching these kids get better. That's all you look at. I mean, the league I bowl in on Monday nights right now have so many of the people that I coached at high school at Father Judge in that league. And these guys are all over 200 average bowlers now. And to me, that's the stuff I'm proud of is – the wins come and go, but to see these guys still stick with the game and see how they've advanced and made themselves better is really what the joy of the game is from the coaching standpoint. You know, you're going to have championships, you're going to have losses, you're going to have good seasons, bad seasons. It's not about that. It's about having these kids round out to be good people, good bowlers, good students, because that's got to come first. And the schools really push that, you know, and so do I. You have to have the marks to stay on the team. You don't have the marks, you're not bowling.
So you as a bowler, just as a bowler, how many 300 games?
None.
Really?
No.
Close?
Close. But I have not had any. My son, Timmy, he's probably got about 32 of them now.
Wow. 32,
33. My other son, Pat, who's also a very good bowler, he's been close, and he hasn't got there. But then again, Timmy's averaging around 230, and Pat's averaging around 215, but they only bowl three games a week. They don't bowl during the summer. They don't practice. They just have that natural talent now from good coaching when they were growing up. And it stayed with them. Even my daughter, when she bowled at St. Hubert, she was a very good bowler. And I know when she had a group of people from work go to a bowling center for, I guess, the building type thing for them. And she really shocked those people when she started throwing a ball down the lane. They didn't expect that.
So close. What do you have a closest to 300, like one that sticks with you that you were this close and then?
Yeah, because the one time I still remember, we were on lanes 35 and 36. I shot 289 and my son the next game shot 289 right after me. And that just sticks in my head all the time.
Do you get nervous when it's starting to, when you have a shot? Like, I don't know, you get like, say, the seventh frame and it's in play. Like,
I think that when you're going for your first one, definitely. But when you've had a couple of them, you kind of get used to it.
Do you feel like, well, you said your one son's got 30 of them. So right. I was going to say, like, 300 game hole in one. Is it a fair comparison or?
I would say, yeah.
Really?
It is, yes. I mean, the 300 game is being bowled more often now, and I attribute that to the equipment more so than anything. But, yeah, for some people, it's definitely a hole-in-one in a 300 game would be on the same tier as an accomplishment for a lot of people.
So when you're looking at through the college lens now, when you're looking for recruits, and you talked about the importance of the equipment. Let's try to put that aside.
Just, right.
You're sitting down watching some high school standouts bowl. Give me the checklist, 1, 2, 3. What are you looking for to see if this kid has the potential to be somebody that you could coach?
Sure. The first thing I do is I don't let them know I'm coming. I don't want them to know I'm there. I want to see them in their environment, how they interact with their team and with the teams they're bowling. After I see that, then I'll talk to them. I usually ask for their schedule and try to make a couple matches during the season to watch them in competition because I want the right blend of somebody that's a good teammate, cheers their team on. I don't want that individual that only cares about themselves and because that can tear a team apart. So you really want that cohesiveness where you know the girl's going to get along with the other girls because it can get pretty ugly if you don't have the right mix, which I've been fortunate over the years. I've had a lot of good teams, you know, especially with the girls, definitely. The boys, you don't have as much problem with that. You know, you can tell the boys, look, this is what you got to do. Go and do it, and they can do it. The girls, you got to kind of be on top of a little bit more.
This is an incredibly, probably silly, but a very personal question that I've always been curious about. When I bowl, and we used to bowl constantly back in the day. I go probably once every couple years, once a year. I don't curve it. I just throw it straight.
Right.
Is it ever possible for me to be a high-level bowler just bowling it straight?
No.
Thank you for shattering that dream.
because you're using a ball that does not fit your hand.
Okay.
You're using a house ball that is pre-drilled. You know, they have different size holes on the same
yep.
poundage to kind of fit each person. But it's not fit to your hand. It's kind of like running in track shoes that don't fit you. You know, if they're too big or they're too tight, you're not going to do well. And it's the same thing in this game. You know, that's why people have golf clubs made to their size to fit them. And it's the same thing with the ball being drilled for you. It has to fit your hand properly. And that's one of the first things we check out with every bowler when they come in, whether it's high school or college, to make sure that the ball is fitting their hand properly.
You kind of touched on this when you were talking about the kids you're looking for. Sports like bowling, golf, tennis at the college level, I don't think there's as much discussion of things like chemistry because it's kind of it's a team sport, but it's individual. You know. But do you feel chemistry is as important as it would be on a football team and a basketball team?
Definitely. Definitely. Because, like I said, the one day you're going to bowl 5 traditional matches, which is more of an individual type thing for you, for your scores. But when you get to the Baker, that's a team game. It's a true team game. You only get the ball 2 frames. And you need that chemistry that you hope clicks where it's strike, 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 strike. I know Jacksonville State just the other day shot a 300 game in the tournament they were in, which is great because you're talking about 5 individuals only throwing 2 frames, getting 12 strikes. That's not easy. That's chemistry. That's That's what it's all about. And that's the biggest thing in Baker Bowling is chemistry, I think. And it is a true team game.
In a Baker Bowl situation, this just popped in my head. The 10th frame, how is that handled? Does one bowler do that?
Yes. One, your fifth bowler, your anchor bowler bowls the fifth frame, and then whatever he or she does in the 10th frame, could throw three strikes, could throw a spare and a strike or a strike and a spare. You want your best bowler there.
So that's kind of like the cleanup hitter,
yes,
the anchor bowler. How do you – now I'm fascinated because I was not familiar with this. How do you slot the other spots? Is there a strategy to it?
Yes, there is. You want somebody that's going to consistently hit the pocket. You're hoping to get at least three in a row, hopefully four in a row. I mean, your weakest bowler – it's got to be in there somewhere, but you're hoping between that your other four are picking it up. And like I say, we are not at the level that we need to be yet. We should be next year. And I think with that consistency and chemistry, that'll come through for us next year.
So where would you slot your weakest bowler in a Baker situation?
First.
You would lead off with them?
Yeah, definitely.
What is the most common injury you have to deal with? I don't mean you specifically.
Right.
I mean as a bowling coach.
Yeah, blisters. The thumb gets ripped up. You know, especially with freshmen, I would say, because they're not used to the amount of games that you're bowling. You know, they come from high school where they bowl three games and they're done. And then they don't bowl for another day or two. Where in the college level, you could have a three-day tournament where you're going to bowl 25 games of Baker, five games of five on traditional, and then you're going to bowl three more sets of Baker, best of seven on a Sunday. That's a lot of bowling over a weekend for these girls, and that is the biggest injury, is the blisters.
How about, do you get a lot of shoulder problems just from the – I know you're not going over the top, but there is a repetition there.
Yeah, there is. We keep a massager with us. And, you know, the shoulders do tighten up on them sometimes, and they use that to help loosen themselves up.
Now, in addition to all this bowling experience and coaching experience, you also coached soccer for a long time, right?
Yes, I coached at St. Hubert's for 18 years with the varsity team. And I also coached a youth team out of Juniana from under 8 to under 19, where we won four state championships.
Do you feel like you approach coaching soccer the same way you approach coaching bowling?
No.
What's different?
The aggressiveness in the game of soccer. You can't be aggressive in bowling. I mean, you have to be consistent with your speed, your approach going up to deliver the ball. It's a completely different game.
Are there any aspects of your coaching experience from soccer that have helped serve you well coaching bowling?
No.
Completely,
I think it's
completely separate.
Yes, it's completely different game. And I had a really good assistant coach, Ed Blaney, with me at Juniana, who was a really good college ball player, and he played a little bit professionally also. And having him there was a big help with his experience to put us out there. But we had a really good team. It was a joy to watch. And at St. Hubert's, we won one championship in 2002, and we got to the dance a few other times, but just didn't bring it home. And this year, St. Hubert's did win the championship this year, this past weekend. First one since 2002.
So getting back to the bowling, not from a coach, just overall the sport, what is it you love the most about bowling?
The competitiveness and watching these kids make more friends with the other teams. I mean, you think that they're going to, this is the other team, you know, blah, blah, you don't want to be friends with them at all. But in the end, they do. They're all good friends. They get along during the off season. They bowl together in different leagues or tournaments. And just watching them grow and become better bowlers, that to me is the whole game. It is. It's just watching them improve, see how they do under pressure. And that's more on the boys' side, I think, with handling with the pressure, because Father Judge has been to so many championships in the years that I've been there. And we've been on both ends of the table, winning and losing it. But it's different. The boys, I think, it's something deeper inside them when they're competing than it is with the girls.
And my final question for you, someone watches one of your teams compete. What is the one thing you hope they take away that your program is all about?
Sportsmanship, and that they're good kids. They're polite. That's what I want from them.
Pat Hamill, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
Okay. You're welcome.
And that will do it for this episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Pat Hamill, head women's bowling coach at Holy Family University and head bowling coach at Father Judge and St. Hubert High Schools, for being our guest this week and coming in studio to chat. If you like the show and you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow this show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at Matt Leon 1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.